Take your Bibles tonight. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 41. We're going to start in verse 10. Isaiah 41:10. And I've entitled tonight's teaching, Fearless. Fearless. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, Fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Okay? So God tells us not to be afraid, right? It says, fear thou not. And it says, it gives us the reason why. Why can we live without fear? For I am with you. Right? The reason we can be fearless is because God is with us. Be not dismayed. And the word dismayed is to wander or to look away from. Okay, so when you look up the Hebrew and the root of it, it means literally to wander or to look away from. So we're not to be fearful, and we're not to wander away from or look away from God. Be not dismayed, wander not or look away, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Right? So if we follow his instructions, if we choose not to wander or look away, then the result is going to be that he's going to strengthen us, that he's going to help us. Right? He will strengthen us, help us, and hold us up. Right? He'll prop us up. That's God's promise. So tonight we're going to look at some examples in the Old Testament of God's promise to his people to have their back, to deliver them, to take care of them, to provide for them. All right, so we're going to start in Joshua chapter 1. Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. And as we read these tonight, well, remember that you are a son or a daughter of God, right? And so the same thing he did for the children of Israel, he'll do for us. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, right? So we know that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years after Moses led them out of Egypt. And here they are on the precipice of the promised land. Moses is no longer with them, and Joshua is being asked to take over. And God tells him what to do, and that he's already provided for them. Verse 9 says, Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou what? Dismayed. We're going to see that a lot tonight. Right? Don't be scared and don't turn away. For the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest, whithersoever thou goest. Right? So the promise is there. Don't be afraid. Be strong and of a good courage, right? Those are the opposites of being afraid and turning away. To be strong and to be of a good courage. That God would be with them wherever they went. Wherever they went. Go to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 1. So coming to the promised land wasn't just like, oh, here it is, right? There were people living there. It was a wonderful place, a land flowing with milk and honey, in fact, right? Not a place that people just ignore. So God had to prepare their way through the promised land. And in earlier records here in Joshua, we are familiar with the record of Jericho, right? That God provided for them by flattening the walls of Jericho so that they could walk right in, right? That was easy peasy. They didn't have to create battering rams. They didn't have to do anything, you know, militant and special. They marched around it, and the walls came down. And in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and rise, go up to Ai." See, they had Ai back then, too. All right. "See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai." He was in charge of it. "And his people, and his city, and his land." Okay? So here God is telling Joshua how to overcome Ai. "And thou shalt go," verse 2, "and thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it." All right, so Jericho was one thing. They had to march around it and blow trumpets and all that, and the walls came down. Here he's telling him that you are going to go behind the city and set an ambush for it. Right, so all along he's giving them instructions on how to take down each place that they come to. But in every case, he tells them, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Do not turn away, right? Because that was the key. As long as they did that, God was their strength, right? God was the one who would provide. And so they take Ai. Go to Joshua 10, verse 1. Joshua 10, verse 1. "Now it came to pass, when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem," now at this point, the Israelites are not in Jerusalem, right? This is pre them acquiring Jerusalem. So the king Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, and to Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Deber, king of Eglon, saying, come up unto me and help me, that we might smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Right? So five nations are joining forces together to try and stop Joshua's takeover. And you saw what happened in Jericho, you saw what happened in Ai. They just made friends with Gibeon. We better do something. Because they're Game of Thrones style. Just take it over. Moving in. Verse 12. Oh, sorry. Verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. Do not be afraid." Now we have five nations, five kings, joining forces to try to stop this. And God says, don't be afraid, for I have delivered them into thine hand. Right? Past tense. Right? God is speaking to them and to show them what is going to happen, but talking to them in a way that it's already done. Right? That it's already provided. Do not be afraid. I've already delivered them. Right? Had they beat up those five kings yet? No. But God was promising Joshua that it was already, you know, it had already come to pass. Right? That it was already there and available. I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Verse 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. So, anyway, God promises to deliver them. And he does. They beat up the nations. And so, here, he delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel and said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened to the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for who? For Israel. Right? And so God does this cool, awesome, amazing thing where, you know, time basically stands still, right? As they're fighting off these enemies, you know? That's God's, you know, deliverance and the cool things he does to encourage them, right? God fought for them, right? He fought for them. He was the one to deliver them. Verse 16, but these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makkada. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makkada. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. Trap them in there. Right? That's what he tells them to do. Yeah, you just trap them in there. But don't hang out. Stay not. But pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. The last, you know, the last guy running. Right? Just imagine all enemies running away. Like, just take all of them. Even that guy that's lagging behind. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkada in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of what? Israel, right? So even the, you know, people had joined forces with them in Gibeon and everything, they saw the immensity of what God had accomplished for the children of Israel. And nobody said boo about it, right? They paid great respect. Nobody dared speak against God's people because of what God had done for them. Verse 22, and then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war which went with him, come near and put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be what? Dismayed. Just like God told Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Right? And so he's constantly reminding them of God's ability, of God's goodness, of what God did for them. Right? Saying, you don't need to be afraid. Do not look away. This is what God has done for you. And he'll continue to do this for you. Right? And you would have to think that as a general leading an army, right, that's the kind of stuff you need to remind your people of. Verse 26, and afterward Joshua smote them and slew them and hanged them on 5 trees, and they were hanging upon the trees until the evening. Go to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20. And so God did this for Joshua and the children of Israel all throughout the Promised Land, helping them to overcome and overtake it. Right? And that's how they take root in Jerusalem and in the Promised Land. But all throughout telling them not to have any fear, that he would take care of them. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It says, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazanotamir, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. He feared, right? There was a great army, a great multitude coming for them. And the king got a little scared, right? That's a big deal. It's a very human reaction. But what was his response? And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek what? The Lord. To seek the Lord. Right? Sometimes scary things happen. Sometimes we're faced with something that seems like it's going to be a really big deal. Right? It might give us some anxiety. It might give us some worry or some fear. But our response should be like Jehoshaphat's. To set ourselves to look to God, right? To give it to God. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, right? And so everybody comes together. I mean, when you think about the magnitude of what that must have been like, right? Just everybody in all the cities coming out to seek God's help. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none shall be able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Right? And so he goes to God. He prays. He asks him for help. And he gets everybody together, too, to do it. Right? We'll talk about like a prayer list. They had everybody come out. And he gathers them all into one place, into the temple, to literally to pray to God, to show them what God would do for them. Verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Everybody was there. Families, little kids, everybody. To hear this prayer and to see God's deliverance. Verse 14, then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. So the Spirit of the Lord comes upon this prophet, and he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, you guys should be terrified because Syria is no joke. No. He says, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but whose?
God's.
God's. You don't even have to figure this out. This battle isn't yours to fight. It's God's. All right? So think about it. They gather everybody together. They're in the temple. They're praying to God for help. God talks to the prophet who's in the midst of them and says, all right, here's what you're going to tell them. That's answered prayer. God, will you take care of us? God says, okay, sure, and speaks via this prophet. Be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. They didn't have surveillance satellites, right? They didn't have intel and the internet and comms and black ops. God just told them where they would be. Yeah, go down there, that's where they'll be. Go stand against them. Go see for yourself. Verse 17, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Right? And that's the message. Go on, this is where they're going to be. Y'all go down there. You don't have to fight them, just go down there and hang out, be still, and watch what I'm going to do for you. Right? That's the message to all the people. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible. That's answered prayer. Have no fear. He reminds them again. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you what?
Prophesy.
Wow. What a message. What a message. He gathers all the people together. They go forth into the wilderness. And he says to them, believe God. Believe his prophets. Now, the prophets they represented the word of God, right? That's how the word of God got to the people at that time, was via the prophets. Via the prophets. So he's telling them to believe God and believe his word, right? Believe God and believe his word. And then you will be established, which means unwavering, unfearful, steady, and you will prosper, right? And that's the same kind of thing that's available to us today, right? God tells us that today. Believe God, believe his word, and all the other stuff is going to be added unto us, right? So that's what he tells them to do. In verse 21, it says, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were what? Smitten. Right? He tells them, this is not a battle you're going to have to fight. And instead, he says, hey, the king says, find me some people who can sing, and find me some people who can get real hyped up and praise, right? Give me some hype men. And it says that as they began to sing and to praise, all the other guys fight each other. Crazy. Verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Right? So, three groups were there. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir, all coming out to beat up on the Israelites. And then they start singing and praising, and the Ammonites and Moabites beat up all the people of Mount Seir, and then when they're done beating them up, they look at each other and they start beating each other up. Right? Until everyone helped to destroy another. So they didn't have to fight at all. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. So they go out there to see what God had wanted them to see, and instead of a multitude of an army, it's a multitude of dead bodies, because they had all killed each other. That was God's deliverance, right? That was God's deliverance. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Right? And that multitude was a multitude to be feared by the five senses. Right? That was a, you know, come in and take over your land and kill you all kind of multitude. So there's a lot of room to be afraid there. But God told them, don't be afraid, that I will be with you, that this battle is not yours to even fight. And they just had to believe God. They had to believe God. And he took care of them. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Right? God has not given us the spirit of fear. We have no reason to be afraid either. Right? We can be powerful. We can be of a sound mind. Right, God is going to do great things for us too. Right, there's lots of opportunity to be afraid in this world, but we have to remember who's bigger than all of it. It's God, right? It's God. He will take care of us, just like he did the children of Israel. Go to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. And over again, he reminded them to not have fear and to not be dismayed, right? To not turn away. Right? It's very easy when we get scared or we get anxious to forget about God, to try to figure it out ourselves, or to let that anxiety or that fear take over so that we forget those things, right? But God reminds us, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men or man shall do unto me. Right? And one of the other ways it's translated is a question, a rhetorical. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Right? What can man do to me? With God on our side, that's it. He's bigger than all of it. Man can't do anything. Right? He will never leave us nor forsake us. And we're going to close in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10. Right, so God is a God of great deliverance. With him on our side, we have the victory. We have overcome. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's who we can be strong in. God. Who's strong? God. Right? We can be strong in God and the power of his might. Of his might. Right? God can fight those battles for us just like he did with the children of Israel. God can take care of the situation just like he took care of the children of Israel. It's God who's got that power and that might. We don't have to figure it out ourselves. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, right? To stand. So God makes it available for us to live that fearless life, to trust in Him, to always count on Him for that deliverance. We believe God, we believe His word, and then we stand. Right? Because the fight isn't ours. It's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. Right? And God provides the victory for us.